Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on KKRN, listener-supported community radio at 88.5 FM. Tonight we feature two plays. The first is Seance, written by local actor, director, and playwright Chris Gomez. Agent Perry has the delicate task of informing fellow agent Alexander Chambers that this will be his final debriefing before the world as he knows it comes to an end.
Alex, Alex, you need to wake up, Alex. This is important. I need you. Don't leave me.
Jennifer, is that you? I won't leave you. Where are you? I can't see anything. I can't move. I can't open my eyes. I feel numb. Why can't I move? I feel as if I can hear my own thoughts outside my body.
Mr. Chambers. Mr. Chambers? Can you hear me, Mr. Chambers? If you can, please save us both some time and only think your answers instead of trying to speak. Trying to use your mouth will do you no good now.
Yes. Yes, I hear you. Who are you? What have you done to me?
Well, Mr. Chambers, actually Alexander, you don't mind if I call you Al, do you? At this point, we're really past formalities, Al.
How do you know my name? Who are you? Seriously, this is angering me. I want answers.
I have not done anything to you. My name is Perry. I'm a government agent like yourself. Well, in all honesty, not like you. When it comes to spies, you're one of the best. No, I'm more of a specialist. Part of a special communications division known as Project Gateway. I created a unique device that the government deemed useful. And since I'm the only one who can use it, and they don't want anyone to know they have it, they keep me around. Job security is a beautiful thing, Al.
Am I hooked up to that machine now?
Yes.
So, what is it? Is it a paralyzer? Some sort of truth extractor? What does your people want from me?
Oh, Al, I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't clear before. We're on the same team. I'm an agent of the same government.
How can I be sure?
Every agent is given a secret fail-safe security code they must memorize in order to identify other agents in possible hostile situations. 837 Charlie Omega 629 Delta 1.
Oh, okay. But still, I've never heard of Project Gateway.
I'm not surprised. Project Gateway is the highest level of top secret initiatives. The president himself doesn't even believe it exists. He thinks Gateway is a spook story. Pretty much everyone who has been made aware of Gateway is not a worry of the agency.
Why?
You are in the presence of the Gateway device only once and never again.
Oh my God, is this my burn notice? Or worse, am I being disposed of? You're going to kill me, aren't you?
Oh, damn it, Al. I've done this a couple of dozen times before, but it never gets any easier to say. You're already dead.
Great. I give my all for this country, and they decide to end me. What did I do to earn this? Oh, and I think I deserve to at least know how you plan to do it. Poison? Piano wire? Or are you going to make it ironically symbolic? A knife in my back?
You don't understand. You are already dead. You died hours ago.
What? I can't be dead. I'm talking to you now.
Technically, talking requires use of the mouth and vocal cords, which you have to admit you're not using either of at this moment. We're communicating.
I find this hard to believe. If this is true, how is it possible?
That's what the Gateway device is. A way to communicate with the deceased.
Oh, really? So I can take my cellular gateway from my pocket and dial up old Abe Lincoln and have a chit-chat about his recommendations on what play I should go see at the theater this weekend?
It doesn't work that way. It has its limitations.
Well, fill me in. Dead man listening.
You can't just talk to anybody at any time. The window of opportunity to speak to someone is very small. You only have 8 hours from the time of death to connect the corpse to Gateway. The easiest way to explain this is the part of you that makes you you does not die with the body. It does not leave the body right away. It goes into a state of suspended animation, if you will. Almost like hitting the pause button. So, As long as I can hook you up to the machine within that 8-hour span, I can communicate with you in that state.
Are you telling me you're speaking to my soul?
Soul, spirit, please, let's not label it. Once we do that, then we start down the road of a theological discussion, and that never ends well.
So I'm really dead?
I'm sorry, but yes.
Oh, God, there's so much I didn't get to do. Oh, dear Lord, what about Jennifer? What's going to happen to her?
I'll explain that soon. Don't worry, your wife will be taken care of. Until then, time is of the essence.
No, tell me now. She's everything to me.
I hate playing this card, but I'm in charge in this situation. We do this my way. Trust me, it's easier for everyone involved.
Fine. I'm sorry. Wait, who killed me? I don't remember anything other than going to sleep last night. How did I die? Some sort of showdown with another spy? Or poison drink? How?
Sorry, Al. Nothing that glamorous or exciting for Agent Chambers. You only remember going to sleep last night because that's what you did. You died in your sleep. Aortic tear. Boring, but a great way to go, in your sleep.
Oh. Is that why I was nauseous last night before bed?
Yes.
Good to know, I guess. Not that I'm not appreciative to know all this, but why am I on the machine?
You were on a mission when you died. The agency is under the impression you may have learned some very important intel and passed before you could be debriefed.
Oh, I did.
Good. Well, let me start the recorder. We can only get one shot at this. I can't really come back and ask you to repeat yourself tomorrow.
And knowing that there was still a week before that was going to happen, I decided to go to sleep since I wasn't feeling well and had to wake up early to fly back and make my report to the officials in charge.
Why didn't you send the report in remotely?
I wasn't satisfied that all forms of digital communications were completely secure. I could not risk having the transmission intercepted. This information had to be delivered in person.
Thank you, Al. This report will be delivered immediately. You know, sadly, multiple agents have died in the line of duty. Before, the secrets they gathered would die with them. At least since the inception of Gateway, most have not died in vain. We have prevented 14 huge terrorist attacks in the last 8 years, using the information gathered from post-death debriefings.
That's amazing. You invented this machine?
Yes. I came up with the idea after my son died. I wanted to communicate with him after he died in combat overseas. However, with the device's limitations, it will never be possible to do that. It was through building and perfecting the equipment that I realized you need to have the body present, and I discovered the temporary state of the after-death transition period.
I'm sorry about your son.
Thank you. We all do what we must for the love of our country. It was a risk we were both fully aware of when he joined the service. It doesn't soften the blow, though, when that news is delivered.
I empathize. Well, I hope you can take some comfort knowing that countless lives have been saved because of you both.
It does help a little. I like knowing that because of my loss and what I've done, other fathers won't ever have to know that feeling.
So, Perry, my body is in the room with you right now?
Yes.
What is the room like?
More similar to a morgue or a mad scientist's lab than I'm comfortable with, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the device is very large and very technical. It uses quite a bit of power and operates to a point of high temperatures, so the room is kept rather cold to compensate. I'm currently working on a smaller, more efficient version. The current version that you are hooked up to is the third incarnation of the machine.
You only have an 8-hour window, huh?
That's it.
So, how did anyone know I was dead with enough time to get me here?
Well, when you joined the agency, you were implanted with a microchip. It monitors your vital signs. When you died, an operative team extracted you, and upon your arrival, I had to bring you down to this room and link you to the gateway system.
Where is the room located?
There is a secret subfloor in the agency's main building. That is where I work. You're there now.
I see. Well, rather, I don't, but I get the idea. Secret, huh?
Yeah. I can tell you about it because, well, who are you really going to tell?
I find it odd that we can still have small talk, even under these conditions.
Well, not much else we can do, I suppose. The one rule I was able to enforce when I built this machine is that I will not turn it off until you leave your body, or the person asks to end their session early.
Has anyone ever done that?
A few. Some can't mentally wrap themselves around the idea that they are dead. At that point, it's pretty much a form of torture.
Perry?
Mm-hmm?
You said that Jennifer would be taken care of.
I did.
How?
Well, after you go, she'll be sent notification that you had a life insurance policy you didn't tell her about. She won't need for anything for the rest of her life. We'll also have her monitored for some time to make sure she's not in any danger, just in case someone ever traced you back to the agency.
That's good. She is my life. Was my life. Damn it! I can't fathom that I will never see her beautiful face again. Never hear her sweet voice. You know, I could be having the worst day ever, but just listening to her always made everything better. Why? Why did I waste so much time? You always think there will be another tomorrow. You take the people you love for granted. I wish she could know how much I truly love her.
I have a parting gift for you, Al.
What?
I can give you one more chance to tell her.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Yes. You still have some time left. I spoke with the upper echelons, and it was agreed that because of the superior agent that you were, you deserve some sort of honor to thank you for your service. However, since the agency is required to disavow any knowledge of your existence, that's not possible. So, I was able to convince them to let you have one last chance to communicate with your wife.
Really?
Yes. Now, there are guidelines, though, and those guidelines are quite rigid. If you don't follow them, the consequences will be severe.
What are the rules?
You are not allowed to tell her anything that has transpired here. You are not allowed to tell her you are dead or that you were a spy. You must treat this and act like this is any other routine phone call you have made hundreds of times before.
All right. I agree to those terms. What would happen if I didn't follow those rules?
You would then make her a loose end. You know how the agency feels about loose ends. They tie them off, and they do so quite effectively.
I swear I will do as I'm told. How much time do I have?
Not much, I'm afraid. Your vitals went flat around 4:30 a.m. local time. It is now just before noon. I'm estimating approximately less than 30 minutes before the final haze starts to set in. I'll get your cell phone and dial your wife on speakerphone.
This is by far the most odd feeling I have ever had in my life, knowing I am dead.
Are you frightened?
Sure, a little. Wouldn't you be? Yet, I feel this overwhelming calm, too. I would never have thought that would be the most prominent feeling. It's almost as if every worry I ever had has just disappeared. And really it has. I mean, in the long run, none of that matters anymore. I really wished I could have realized that when I was alive. Might have made life easier. Maybe I would not have been too afraid to do some things. Maybe I would have made different choices, taken more risks.
Said the globe-trotting spy.
You know what I mean. Told more people how I really felt. Spoke up in situations where I remained quiet. Stuff like that.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this. I just thought of something. Wouldn't it be a horrible time to get her voicemail?
Really would.
My gosh, Diablo, shut up. That's it. Outside now. Get out now. Why did Alex get me that dog?
Oh, I don't want you to be lonely while I'm away.
Well, maybe if he didn't travel so much for work, I wouldn't be lonely. Jerk. Oh no, oh no, oh no! Not the cookies! Ah, oven mitt, where's the oven mitt? Damn. They're ruined! Looks like the chambers are bringing Oreos to tonight's dinner party. How embarrassing. Oh, what now? I'm coming! Sure, now he calls. What?
Hi, honey. How are you?
Honey?
Oh, don't you dare honey me. You want to know how I'm doing? I'll tell you. I'm ticked off. That's how I am.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. How do you want it listed? Chronologically, alphabetically, or just a random annoyed rant?
Rant, sweetheart?
You got it. First of all, your dumb dog is driving me crazy, barking at everything. And I mean everything. You know that fool was barking at Lint earlier? Lint, Alex. And remember that dinner party that we're supposed to go to tonight? Well, I took the dress I wanted to wear to the dry cleaners. I picked it up today, and those idiots shrank it. And if you even think about asking if I gained a pound or two, I swear I will reach through this phone and strangle you with my bare hands.
Wouldn't dream of it.
Darn right you won't. Then the cookies I was making to bring to the party just burnt up. And you're lucky they didn't catch the entire house on fire. Then you might run the risk of me meeting a handsome firefighter to run away with. But Jen, you're a married woman. Am I? Am I really? Well, you could have fooled me, because my husband's never around. Mr. Big Shot Executive on business travel all the freaking time. Ow. And to top it off, I bit my tongue while chewing out a jackass over the phone. How was your day?
You know, nothing I could say would really top that. I thought I had one thing, but nah, never mind.
Where are you? You were supposed to be home this morning.
Yeah, I know, sweetheart. My flight got delayed.
Here, sir. Here's your keys to your rental car.
Rental car? What's going on, Alex?
The company plane was having some minor trouble, so we stopped off at the airport about 3 hours from home. It would be quicker for me to drive home as opposed to waiting for the plane.
Oh, my. Is everything okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, babe. I'm fine. I just wanted to call you to tell you why I was late and just to say that I love you. I'll be home soon, and I'll be taking the most beautiful girl I know to that party tonight.
Oh, you old flatterer. You always know how to change my mood around.
Funny. I think I just said something like that about you to someone earlier.
Really? Who?
No, it's not important. Just a nice guy I met in a waiting room. He was telling me about his son, and I was talking about you.
Oh, you know you're the sweetest when you want to be. By the way, this dinner party tonight is going to be horrendous.
Hey, don't knock a dinner party. That's where I met you, you know.
I remember. You really did look handsome, and you were making everyone laugh because you were mixing those cocktails and doing that weird little hip move you do.
It's more of a pelvic swivel, kind of an Elvis-type thing. It says, "The drinks are made! Bam!"
Yeah, that thing. It says something, all right.
And I remember hearing the cutest giggle that night, and I said, right then and there, I am going to marry the girl who made that giggle.
No, you didn't.
Okay, I didn't, but I really should have. I remember thinking you were the most adorable girl I had ever laid eyes on. And that is God's honest truth.
Sir, your car is ready.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Listen, honey, I have to get going soon. I really want to let you know how much I love you.
I love you, too. And don't worry, you know I'd never leave you for a firefighter. I can't stand the smell of smoke.
Well, that's something I wanted to talk to you about. I didn't tell you before because I didn't want you to get your hopes up, in case it didn't amount to anything.
What?
I applied for a promotion at work. It's a head of internal resources position. Well, I found out today that I got the job. That means I won't be traveling anymore. You mean the world to me, and it was killing me to be away from you so much.
Are you serious? I'm so happy. You totally just made my day.
That was the goal.
You succeeded. Now hurry up and get your manly butt back home and take me to a party.
Okay. Just remember, I love you more than anything else in the world. Truly more than life itself.
I love you just as much. Now get going. I'll talk to you later.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Bye. Wait!
Yeah?
One more thing. Can you pick up a bottle of champagne for the party tonight?
Sure. I'll pick one up on my way out of town.
Great. You're the best when you want to be. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You did real well.
Thanks. You know, it feels weird to want to cry, but not have the living body to have the ability to do so.
Well, it sounded like you made her happy with that job story.
Yeah. At least now she knows I would give up the job for her. So, what happens now?
Well, in a few hours, she will get a call saying you were in an automobile accident. Most likely an animal crossed your path and you swerved to avoid it and crashed over the side of a cliff.
You gonna mangle up my body a bit?
Going to have to. sorry.
Am I going to feel anything?
Did you feel that?
Feel what?
Exactly. I just poked you in the ribs. You'll be fine.
Well, at least she won't have to go to that horrendous party in that too small dress, right?
Good humor, even to the end, huh?
Suppose you got to, right? Hey, can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Make sure they put a bottle of champagne in the car. I don't want her to think I forgot.
Sure.
Hey, Perry?
Yeah?
What's going to happen next? Where am I going?
Everyone describes the final moments as hazy. Then I think all your memories start to replay rapidly for you to see. Sort of like a computer synchronizing itself before a shutdown. I think it literally is your life flashing before your eyes. To be honest with you, after that, I'm not sure. You just go. I have no way to communicate after that, so no one has ever told me.
I'm very scared. A little anxious, but completely terrified.
Understandable. I think what happens after you go all depends on your personal views. So I hope your heaven is everything you ever hoped it would be. Don't worry, Al. I'll be with you until you fully transition.
Thanks, Perry. I'm starting to see something. It's my mother. She looks so young. Oh my God, that's my first dog, Teddy. I remember that. Going for my first drive the day I got my license. There's Jennifer looking so gorgeous in her wedding gown. Oh, there's my...
Goodbye, Mr. Chambers. I wish you could see the salute I'm giving you. You were a fine man, Al.
That was Seance by Chris Gomez. The voice of Agent Perry was performed by John Welsh. Alexander Chambers was played by Isaac Hines. Julie Avery played Jennifer Chambers. Now our second play, Mirror. This play was written by Victoria Pettit, a student studying at Arizona State University. A young man grapples with internal issues while in front of the mirror.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
We don't need those.
I have to take them.
Don't grab the bottle.
Shut up! Please. We're supposed to be getting better.
These pills aren't going to help. Don't you know that already? It's all a lie.
I need these pills. So I don't hear you in my head.
No, you need me, Evan. There's no way you'll be able to function out there without me.
Yes, I can. Even Mom said I
was. Mom? She doesn't know you like I do. She doesn't understand anything about you. She doesn't even love you.
Yes, she does. She told me.
She hates you, Evan. From the second you were born, she hated you. Those pills won't change any of that. They won't change who you are, who you really are. They won't make her love you.
Stop saying that!
Just five more minutes! What about Lizzie, huh? Do you think she loves you?
Well, yeah. She's my sister. This hair.
Pills won't fix this.
What about algebra last year?
Yeah, what about it?
We were about to have another episode. And then we took our pills and everything went back to normal.
Normal? That's funny.
I'm serious. Just listen, okay? What about that football game? Freshman year, the stands were so crowded and we were getting thrown around so much. It wasn't a safe environment for me, for us. But these helped.
Yeah, I remember that game. We weren't ready for that kind of social interaction.
And Mom told us we shouldn't have gone. She cares about me. About us. These pills help.
If you take them, though, I go away. I won't be there to protect you. I don't think you can do this on your own.
I can. I'm okay now.
Are you?
I think so. I need to do what's best for me.
For you? What about me, Evan? I am a part of you, too.
You say you want to protect me, but all you do is bring me harm.
Throw the damn pills out. We don't need it. You only need me, Evan. Damn it. You need me.
No. 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 I don't need you. I don't need these. Stop. Please. Just stop. I won't take these. I'll do whatever you want. Just stop.
Flush the pills.
All of them?
Yep. No more. From now on, we're in control. Not the pills.
I don't know. Is this really a smart idea?
Now!
Okay. Okay, fine. What now?
I'm in control now.
What? Wait, I thought you said you... We were in control. Wait. Wait!
In Mirror by Victoria Pettit, Evan was played by Kyle Thompson and his mirror image by Keith Rose. That does it for tonight's performances. Technical production on this show, well, all our shows, is by Lily Dubois. We hope you enjoyed listening. Scratched Up Radio Theater extends a very special thanks to local contributing writers. If you would like us to consider your own work for radio, or perhaps comment on what you have heard tonight, please email us at scratchedup@kkrn.org. We would love to hear from you. A reminder that KKRN is listener-supported. If you like what you hear, please consider a donation to the station. Just go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button. Or, if you prefer the old-fashioned method, send a check to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96084. This is your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thank you for listening.